Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 296 to finish at 24,688. S&P 500 down 46 at 2,658. NASDAQ down 151 at 7,167. Russell 2000 small and mid caps down 16 at 1483. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 6 basis points at 3.08%. Oil up 29 cents at $67.62 per barrel. Gold up $1.20 at $12.3380 per ounce. Now, on Wednesday, the Dow Industrial Average's high for the day was 25,306. Today, the session low was 24,445. So this represents a little more than an 850-point spread between high and low and Wednesday and today. Volatility has returned to the markets. With the S&P 500 only 5 weeks removed from its all-time high, we've not been definitive about labeling this move a new cyclical bear market. But it's a good chance we're experiencing one. Today's decline sent the S&P 500 into a correction. The index is now down about 10.5% from its September 21st year-to-date intraday high of 2940. The NASDAQ entered a correction on October 11th. The Dow is down about 9% from its record high of 26,951. The Dow on Thursday climbed 400 points, trying to regain losses from previous consecutive dismal days. Then the Dow dropped more than 500 points earlier in today's session. Both the Dow and the S&P 500 have now wiped out gains for the year, with the NASDAQ the only one of the major indexes holding on to a year-to-date gain of right at 3.3%. The Dow is down 5.9% in October. It's on pace for its worst month since August 2015. The NASDAQ fell 3.8% for the week, biggest weekly drop since March 23rd. The Dow down 3% on the week, and the S&P 500 was down 4% on the week. Well, this all comes as companies have actually been reporting relatively strong earnings. It also comes as companies have expressed concerns about guidance. Not that it's falling over a cliff, just management isn't sure what to expect. And we know the markets hate uncertainty. Well, this month's sell-off by investors has erased about $5 trillion in value from global stock and bond markets in October alone. So now we start talking about how much pain the markets will inflict on investors before something breaks. Now, this doesn't mean that stocks are destined to fall. We could see a bounce, even a significant rally, before stocks take another hit. But it seems inevitable that there will be another leg down, just because there are so many different issues that are pulling at the markets. Also, crude oil futures posted their third consecutive weekly loss. West Texas Intermediate crude ended this week down 2.2%. It's now dropped about 12% from the recent high of 86 and change on October 3rd. At the start of October, oil prices were rising on signs that U.S. sanctions are shrinking Iran's crude exports faster than anticipated, potentially leaving the world with a shortage of oil. The sanctions are expected to cut crude exports from Iran, OPEC's third biggest oil producer, by about 1 million barrels per day. But we've seen a burst of supply that came on the market after the recent assassination of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi. It appears the Saudis are taking the necessary steps to cultivate their business relationships. Gross domestic product decelerated a bit to a 3.5% annualized pace in the third quarter. That's down from a white-hot 4.2% pace in the prior 3 months. GDP is the official measuring stick for the U.S. economy. The economy looks like it will expand above a 3% rate for all of 2018. Now, this hasn't happened since 2005. At the same time, inflation cooled in the third quarter. Consumer spending rose 4% in the third quarter, even stronger than the prior 3 months. This was offset by a slowdown in business and residential investment. Household investment has fallen for 3 straight quarters. The value of unsold goods or inventories added 2.1 percentage points to growth. A significantly larger trade deficit took 1.8 points off top-line growth. Final sales to private domestic purchasers, that's a good measure of domestic demand that excludes inventories and trade, rose 3.1%. That's down from 4.3% in the prior 3 months. Government spending picked up, expanding 3.3% after a 2.5% gain in the second quarter. Inflation, as measured by the PCE price index, and that's the Federal Reserve's preferred gauge, inflation measured by the PCE rose at a 1.6% annual rate in the third quarter. That's down from a 2% rate in the second quarter. The core PCE price index rose at a 1.6% annual rate, down from a 2.1% rate in the second quarter. Second quarter might have been the peak quarterly growth rate of this business cycle. We started the year with tax cuts. That provided a temporary boost to start the year. Wall Street spiked at the beginning of the year, spiraled into a 10% correction, crawled back to a new high in September, and then, of course, the sharp sell-off in October. No single factor explains the October sell-off, but there are several, multiple concerns, including rising interest rates, the gradual tightening of monetary policy, an intensifying trade war with China, and some forecast of lower corporate earnings on the horizon. Trump promised his tax cuts and deregulatory efforts would unleash a boom in business spending that would push growth rates above 3% or even 4% indefinitely. Businesses were supposed to take the money they saved on their taxes and put up new factories, buy new equipment, invest more in ideas and technology of the future. Yet, business spending decelerated in the third quarter, growing by just 0.8%. Such spending, known as non-residential fixed investment, grew by 8.7% in the second quarter, 11.5% in the first quarter. That looks like a slowdown. Forecasting firms such as IHS Markit and Moody's Analytics see overall growth slowing, not improving, in 2019 and 2020. With a recession possible, business spending increases to meet demand. The tax cut proponents hoped for a jolt of stimulation that would push demand, but it hasn't happened. The market does not believe 2019 growth is going to be anywhere near what it was expected to be. The corporate tax cuts passed last December did stimulate the economy, but it appears to be not much more than a sugar high. The long-term strategy to reinvigorate the economy doesn't look like it's happening to any great degree, at least not yet. Tax cuts have not filtered down to individual workers' paychecks. Wages are only rising 2.8% so far this year, roughly the rate of inflation. Corporations have mostly returned their tax savings to shareholders in the form of share buybacks and dividends. Business investments may seem boring, but they are one of the keys to higher living standards in the future and higher profits. One thing we may be learning is that tax cuts don't necessarily result in business investments. Without business investments, we won't see higher productivity. Without higher productivity, we won't see higher standards of living. And then there is the matter of timing. While the sugar high from tax cuts may be wearing off, we are also seeing the Federal Reserve hike interest rates and tighten monetary policy. Now, this is a balancing act that would be tough enough without the fiscal stimulus component. Toss in trade wars and global slowdown, and you have a highly uncertain environment for companies to even consider investing. And don't forget, the U.S. dollar has been stronger. A widening gulf between the U.S. dollar and several foreign currencies has been weighing on sentiment for U.S. companies trying to sell their goods overseas. Anheuser-Busch, 3M, Illinois Tool Works, UPS, PPG Industries have specifically cited currency as negatively impacting results and their outlook. The tax cuts, meanwhile, helped swell the government's annual deficit by 17% in fiscal 2018, which ended in September, swelled the deficit up to $779 billion. The increase came mostly from a 31% decline in revenue from business taxes. Individuals, by contrast, paid more in income taxes in 2018, contributing to voter skepticism of the new law. The last time the economy was this good, in the late 1990s, tax revenue surged, leading to 4 years of federal surpluses. The big problem is large deficits leave less room to stimulate the economy if and when economic growth slows. The final reading of the University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index in October was 98.6, just a little bit below September's level of 100.1. The initial reading was 99. Pending home sales edged up 0.5% to a reading of 104.6 in September. The National Association of Realtors Index, which tracks real estate contract signings, snapped a 4-month losing streak. Thursday was the busiest day of the third quarter corporate earnings season. Giants such as Amazon and Alphabet reporting. Amazon shares plunged after revenue came in below forecast, while fourth quarter guidance also disappointed. Company stock fell through its 200-day moving average, losing as much as 10% in after-hours trade. Google parent Alphabet saw its shares sink after reporting disappointing revenue in the third quarter. Snap and Western Digital also saw shares fall. Intel, Mattel, and Expedia all rose slightly, but not enough to outweigh the momentum of the big tech stocks. Dow Industrials down 296 at 24,688. S&P 500 down 46 at 2,658. And the NASDAQ Composite down 151 to finish at 7,167. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, eatthebankers.com.